stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. As I said earlier, Steve and several of our members are away at a retreat. We're happy to have with us this morning Joyce Shetler Holt, who brings us a message from Hagar's Sisters, which I expect you'll hear more about. Joyce is well known to several members of the congregation already, but I welcome her and invite you to listen to her message.
Good morning. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you've been my partners in spreading the good news of Christ. So it's right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. Of course, these words were written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Paul's words so accurately reflect the deep appreciation we at Hagar Sisters have for the congregation of St. Matthew's and for our partnership with you. For those of you who may not be familiar with Hagar Sisters, we are domestic nonprofit. We're based here in Acton, and we provide biblically based support for those who have experienced domestic abuse and also for the faith community. I became familiar with St. Matthew's several years ago when I had the privilege of working with Pastor Steve on a clergy symposium that was done locally here. During our interaction, I learned of his love for the Lord and his passion for people who have experienced oppression and abuse. Since that time, a partnership between Hagar Sisters and St. Matt's has begun and has continued to grow. Pastor Steve highlighted Hagar Sisters at one point as he encouraged you to get involved in ministry as a congregation. He also invited Clelia to come and tell the story of one of her friends who had experienced domestic abuse and how Hagar Sisters had helped. Many of you, possibly all of you, have also helped the women of Hagar Sisters find freedom from the spiritual, emotional, and physical abuse that they experience by contributing to the special offering that was shared with Hagar Sisters this past Christmas. And of course, we have the pleasure of having Sarah Wagg as one of our dear volunteers. She comes each week as an advocate for women who have experienced domestic abuse. So, recently, we had our first service project from St. Matt's, and it was a wonderful one. And it started several years ago. I went to a doctor's appointment, and I saw a woman there knitting, and I loved the color and texture, and I commented on what she had knit. And she told me that it was a prayer shawl. Of course, it took me no time to tell her what Hagar Sisters does and my vision of having someone knit hugs for the sisters. Of course, nothing really happened during that conversation. And you fast forward several years later, we received a donation of 3 contractor size trash bags of yarn from a person. But we didn't have anyone to knit. So I came and was invited to St. Matt's, which I've enjoyed being here with you several times. And one day I was out admiring the beautiful prayer shawls, and it didn't take any time for Karen Adams to come up to me and engage me in conversation. And before I knew it, she said, well, let me talk to the prayer shawl team about, you know, this wonderful opportunity. And, of course, she got back to me saying that the prayer shawl team would be happy to make some hugs for the sisters. Shortly after, one of the sisters who had just moved from Oregon, and had not just moved, she had moved from Oregon in hiding from her husband, and just recently found out that he was going to be released from prison. And she said, Joyce, you know, I've been looking all over for a prayer shawl, and they just don't have them in the stores here in Massachusetts, which wasn't a very big surprise for me, but she... of course, I knew that there was a project going on and waited for the special time. And when the prayer shawls arrived, it was wonderful to call Kimberly and say, I have a special surprise for you. Of course, I brought the shawls to her and let her select one. And when she looked at them, her jaw just dropped and she was speechless that the Lord had seen her and heard her and had provided for her through this beautiful project at St. Matthew's. So I told the leaders about this at our next leadership meeting. And the day after that, I had an email from one of the leaders saying, would it be possible? I was wondering if I could have one of those prayer shawls. And she proceeded to tell me a little bit about what was going on in her life. The next time I saw her, I spread out the shawls and I let her select a shawl. And I thought she'd just go, oh, these are beautiful. I'll take that one. But she didn't. She stopped and she spread them out. She touched each one of them. She opened a couple of them up, and then she even tried two of them on. And she said, you know, I'd like this one. And she took her time making this very special selection. The next time I heard from her, it was a letter of gratitude. And I'd like to read that letter to you now. The letter did go to the prayer shawl team, so I'm sharing that with you. It's written by the leader. Dear Prayer Shawl Ministry at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church of Acton, I wanted to thank you so much for your lovely prayer shawls and your involvement with Hagar Sisters. My name is Melissa, and I'm a volunteer within the Hagar Sisters Ministry as a small group leader. Having experienced domestic abuse myself and received much healing and support over the years, including from Hagar Sisters, it's now my honor to work with other women and share my experience, strength, and hope. A couple of weeks ago, Joyce was sharing with us leaders about your ministry and the donation of shawls. As a ministry, we are so grateful and excited to be able to offer your shawls to a sister in need as part of their healing. Over this past year, as part of my own continued healing, I've been doing a lot of work around childhood hurts. I thought about your shawls for a couple of days after Joyce's announcement. I thought how nice it would be to have a shawl to wrap myself in as I'm walking through this phase of my healing. I asked Joyce if and when resources allow I could have a shawl, and she said, absolutely. I chose a pretty multicolored pastel shawl. I love the colors, and I like the weight of it. Part of the meaning of the word shawl is to cover with, for warmth. Every time I even look at my shawl, I get a warm, comforting feeling. When I have it wrapped around me, I feel covered in God's love, compassion, and healing power. I look forward to passing on this part of my healing someday to others as well. My shawl was made by Diana Kendrick. Thank you, Diana, and the Prayer Shawl Ministry. Abundant blessings on your amazing ministry, and thanks again for your partnership with Hagar Sisters. Melissa. Now, this is a beautiful letter and very heartfelt. I saw Melissa shortly after she had sent the letter in. And she said, you know, the funniest thing, she has a 9-year-old daughter. And she said, I was getting ready one morning in my room, and Sophia came in, and she ran in, she grabbed my prayer shawl, and she wrapped it around herself. And she said, I just felt like I needed a hug from God. So not only does your thoughtful compassion and care get extended to the sisters, it gets extended to their families as well. So I'm sure that when the prayer shawl team knit the shawls, I'm sure they knew that they were going to do something very kind for someone, that it was going to be very meaningful. But I wonder if as they knit that shawl, they realized that they were knitting a shawl for Jesus. In Matthew 25:35, Jesus says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. The prayer shawl team showed the love of Christ to women, and at the same time, they loved Jesus. By doing something they enjoyed, they were fulfilling Jesus' greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. So it's right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. So today I bring you warm greetings from the sisters and also their gratitude. They are the benefactors of your partnership. In addition to thanking you, I also thought it would be helpful for you to understand a little bit about the ministry of Hagar Sisters and the things that your partnership does. The things that your compassion is doing in the lives of the sisters. I also thought it would be nice for you to have a little bit of insight about what domestic violence is and why it's important that we talk about it in church. And then finally, I'd like to talk about what God has to say about domestic violence. So I mentioned earlier that Hagar Sisters provides domestic violence education and support. We are a biblically based organization, so everything that we do is through the lens of Scripture and God's love. The women that we serve, we affectionately refer to as sisters. In our work with the sisters, we have three main objectives. First is to help them assess the risk that they face, even though they may not realize the risk that they're facing, living in an experience of domestic abuse, even if there's not been physical harm in the past. Secondly, and part of the risk assessment is that we help them plan for their safety, and those are done through individual meetings. Secondly, we connect them with other organizations that can help them meet their most basic needs for food, shelter, clothing, household items, Christian counseling, and other badly needed items. So, in addition, we offer each woman a free cell phone with minutes so that they can be free to make phone calls that they otherwise might not be able to make. We offer emotional and spiritual healing and support through our support group services, and that includes domestic violence education, mentoring, and prayer support. In each of these three areas, we show God's love and also speak the truth about His love and about His disdain for abuse. I've mentioned women several times this morning already, but it's important to stop and say, while 85% of those who experience abuse are women, research says that 15% of those who experience abuse are men. It's not only women who experience abuse. And my own experience in speaking is having men come up afterward and saying, I don't think I was abused, but This was really familiar. So while I'll talk in terms of the person who experienced abuse in the feminine and the person who did the abusing in the masculine, I want to make it very clear that men also experience abuse. So, in addition to providing education and support for women who have experienced abuse, Hagar's Sisters also works with churches to form church partnerships like we have with St. Matthew's. We provide domestic violence education and opportunities for people to get involved in local missions and to do service projects like the Care Shop team has done, and also to become involved in volunteer opportunities. Well, what is domestic violence? A lot of people often think of domestic violence as it's portrayed in the media, of people having black eyes and being injured. Often they envision a person who is poor, who is uneducated, and possibly of a different ethnic background than themselves. But the truth is that abuse knows no boundaries. It's found regardless of a person's socioeconomic status, their racial or educational backgrounds, and even their religious background. We hear about women who have repeatedly experienced abuse, and we say to ourselves as Christians, why doesn't she just leave? We hear reports of shootings. We hear of women who are killed by an intimate partner, and we wonder what she did that made him so angry. The truth is that abuse is not about anger, that she didn't have to do anything to make him angry. Abuse is a pattern of behavior in any relationship that's used to gain or maintain power and control. And while people think of it as physical abuse, abuse is far more. It can be sexual, emotional, economic, psychological, and it can be actions or even just the threat of actions that influence another person. Those things can include anything from behaviors that frighten and intimidate, terrorize, frustrate, manipulate, hurt, humiliate, blame, injure, or wound someone. All of these things have the power to make someone subject to whatever the person who is abusive does. But why should we talk about domestic violence in church? Well, many people are surprised to learn of the prevalence of domestic violence, but it's rampant in our communities and in our church families. There are numerous studies that confirm the prevalence of the problem. The American Psychological Association reports that 1 out of 3 women will be abused at some point in her lifetime. Studies by the U.S. Surgeon General offer further confirmation that domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women between the ages of 15 and 44 and is more common than 3 things combined, more common than traffic accidents, muggings, and cancer deaths all combined. That's really shocking. It's really shocking. And yet, we have to step back and say, you know, why don't we know about this? And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But the problem of domestic abuse is not limited to the secular community. Researchers in the field of family violence have consistently argued that abuse crosses all religious boundaries and that the rates of abuse are the same inside and outside our church families, our church walls. And yet the majority of those we serve at Hagar's Sisters are Christian women who are married to Christian men. One of the original 5 sisters called me one day, obviously this was a while ago, and she said, Joyce, you're not going to believe what happened. And she was really shaken up. And I talked with her and she said, the FBI are here at my home right now, and they've just shown me a video of how her husband paying a hitman to kill her, right along with the audio. And it's shocking, but the truth is that 1 in 3 women, even in this very congregation, will experience abuse at some point in their life. Well, you may be asking yourself, why haven't you heard about this? And the truth is that abuse is far more complex than anyone might imagine. For most, abuse is a deeply held secret that really isn't shared with anyone, friends or family, until it reaches a point that is absolutely no longer tolerable. And at that point, a woman will disclose the abuse, sometimes to a friend, sometimes to someone at church, a Bible study leader, and sometimes to a pastor. You never know. But I have some good news and have some bad news, unfortunately. The good news is that women are seeking help from the church. Research shows that each year more abuse victims, perpetrators, and their family members seek help from clergy and religious leaders than all other helping professions combined. What a remarkable opportunity we have as Christians to show God's love, to be involved in local missions, to help women who are saying, God, if you're out there, show me that you're real. Or even believing women who are saying, God, you know, if you love me the way that you say you do, why aren't you doing anything to save me from what I'm experiencing? Well, the challenge is that a recent Harvard Divinity School bulletin stated, while women may rank churches as the highest rated resource for support, the majority of their specific experiences are negative. The majority of their specific experiences are negative when they go to the church for help. How can it be when we're supposed to love each other as ourselves and we're supposed to love each other the way God loves us? Again, there are many, many reasons. But at Hagar Sisters, we understand how this might happen. First of all, there are Christians who use the scriptures as tools for manipulation. Scriptures around forgiveness, scriptures around turning the other cheek, scriptures around submission can be misapplied. A woman recently separated from her abusive husband and later agreed to meet with her pastor and the husband. And the pastor came to the conclusion at the end, he said, well, you both are hurting each other. Of course, she had been too ashamed to admit what was really going on in great detail. While he had some idea, he didn't have the whole picture. But he said, you need to be happy to have such a wonderful husband who works so hard. When you go home, I want you to wash his feet. And this is the man that she has to sleep in the car at night so that she can be protected from his unwanted advances. Secondly, our pastors are stretched so thin. They rarely have time to attend the in-depth training that's required. One pastor said, seminary left me woefully unprepared to address the issue of domestic violence. As pastors, people expect us to be experts in many areas, but the reality is we can't be. Fully helping those caught in domestic violence is one of those critical areas that few of us have the time or ability to become experts in. Yet the statistics tell us it's a huge need. What a jewel you have here at St. Matt's. And Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve has such a compassionate heart, and he is knowledgeable about this. And I think that's one of the reasons that his heart has been so extended to Hagar Sisters and the ministry that we do. So Hagar Sisters actually bridges the gap between domestic violence education and Christian teaching for both Christian leaders and for survivors of domestic abuse. The combination is especially crucial for women who are of a Christian faith because it's often her religious beliefs that make her feel trapped in an abusive relationship. And although the majority of those we've served to date have a background in the Christian tradition, we welcome women of all or no religious affiliation because they often ask deep spiritual questions. One of the sisters wrote, I came to Hagar Sisters wondering how there could be a God if he let me suffer so much, but now I know God is the loving Father I've never had. Well, because of our unique approach, Hagar Sisters has experienced remarkable growth, doubling in number we served each of the first 3 years of our existence. Last year, Hagar Sisters served 150 women through our resources referral, safety planning, and support group programs. There's such a high demand for our services that women drive up to an hour and a half to get to the weekly support group meetings. One woman drove from New York State each week, and others come from the Cape, from New Hampshire, and from Maine. Because of the demand, there have been numerous requests to bring Hagar's sisters to other geographies, and we are hopeful this year that we'll receive the funding to start our very first satellite location. We're very excited, and we're trusting the Lord to open the doors for that. And yet Hagar Sisters is one of only five organizations in the United States that provides Christian domestic violence support, direct services for the women themselves. And we are the only organization in New England. What an enormous need for our families, for our communities, and for our churches. Enormous needs can be very overwhelming, but I like what Mother Teresa said. She said, Jesus said, love one another. He didn't say, love the whole world. Mother Teresa's approach to loving one person at a time really seemed to work for her. But what does loving each other in the face of abuse look like? Oh, in Jeremiah, the Lord says, this is what the Lord says, do what is just and right, rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. He encourages us to speak out against abuse in Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case for the widow. Hagar Sisters can be a conduit for you to show God's love to other people. It's a great way for you to love your neighbor. We have a wide variety of volunteer opportunities. Last year we had 72 people involved in volunteering, and we had 200 and some. Our total do service projects. We had a total of 384 people last year be involved in the ministry of Hagar Sisters, and we'd like you to be a part of it. Regardless of your time availability or your background or your skill sets, there's a place for you at Hagar Sisters if that's where God has called you. You can also sponsor or co-sponsor a sister for as little as $25 a month. And like those on your prayer shawl team, you can work together to do a service project with others from your congregation. Jesus said that when you love the least of these at Hagar Sisters, you're loving Him and loving each other. So with everything that I've shared with you today, it's the words of the women themselves at Hagar Sisters that are most telling of the significance of the work the Lord is doing. One sister said, there's incredible healing that comes with receiving and giving empathetic love. I'm immensely blessed to experience both as a part of Hagar Sisters. As a committed Christian woman in abuse recovery, the compassionate validation I can receive and give through this ministry is an all too rare jewel in my life that I continue to treasure. If I had to sum up the ministry in one verse, I would choose Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Thank you, Hagar Sisters, and all those whose generosity make it possible. So, in closing, you have been my partners in sharing the good news of Christ. So it's right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart. Thank you.